Continuing the discussion of divine arrangements, divine intercession, seeing the hand of Krishna in one's life, and specifically that of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada isn't Krishna, but there's the understanding that if we dedicate our life in his service, which means in Krishna's service, with Srila Prabhupada as the special servant of Krishna who's particularly taking care of us, that even though Srila Prabhupada isn't personally present, we can understand how he's guiding us, sheltering us, and if we think that, guiding us and sheltering us means also that if we become proud, the common obstacle in advancement in devotional service, it's somewhat of a quandary that we try hard to serve Krishna. And then become proud of it. We shouldn't become proud, but that's our conditioning. We actually develop some modicum of humility, and then we feel, I'm very humble. So we see, especially in the narrations of impersonalist and voidist Buddhist gurus, that their whole thing is to smash the ego of their disciple. That's practically all their role, because the idea is that according to the impersonalist idea, the individual is like the air within a pot, and when you smash the pot, then the air merges with the rest of the air, the mass of air. So the idea is that we're trapped by our false ego, so if we just smash that, then we become one with everything. It's not our philosophy. It's not exactly correct at all. But we hear such things of the it's just like their only thing is to smash the ego. But the Vaishnav guru is not so much, smashing the ego may be there, but it's rather remolding the ego from the sense of thinking, Ishvaro ham aham bhogi, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, at least I'm doing my best to control what I can and enjoy what I can. Changing that consciousness, that is the false ego, to I am a servant of Krishna. I'm only meant for serving Krishna. But devotees, they may become aware that if they do go off course or they start to become proud, then Prabhupada will arrange something to break that. Just going to make a little note here. You can see his hand in that way also, in many ways. Is that Srila Prabhupada, when we say arrange, I mean, when Srila Prabhupada is personally present, we would say, Prabhupada arranged something, that when we could think of his maybe calling a meeting, dispatching someone to do this or that, but especially in Prabhupada's physical absence, we understand by arrangement it means, divine arrangement, that circumstances are arranged just to make it clear to us how insignificant we are and how dependent we are. We're not independent. That's another feature of false egoism, thinking I am independent. Srila Prabhupada, he sometimes would speak like that himself. He said to Mal Krishna Maharaj, recorded in that Servant of the Servant book, that Srila Prabhupada said that his own guru had arranged for them, that means for his disciples, to be born in America to assist him in his preaching mission. So we can understand that if we actually take shelter, Ashraya Loya Bhaje, Krishna Tare Nahi Taje, Arshab More Akaram. Narottam Thakur says that those who worship Krishna taking shelter, not just some formal, okay, I worship you and press the button and out comes the money. God is a cosmic ATM. But those who actually take shelter of him, then take shelter of the guru, actually, take shelter of the Vaishnavas, Krishna doesn't let them go. Krishna doesn't reject them. And everyone else is living their life uselessly, living and dying uselessly. So devotees can perceive this. Those who are non-devotees and atheists, to them it seems, may seem like some fantasy, but devotees can actually perceive the hand of Krishna and his pure representatives in their life, actually acting. How exactly? We don't know. We don't need to know. Just like when you eat food, how it nourishes the body, you don't need to know. That's already arranged by Krishna. Doctor, he may need to know. It's not required for everyone to know. So exactly how Krishna works. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. Krishna has his potencies by which, by his desire, everything is affected within the world. Subtle potencies. Some other instances, when I'd mentioned yesterday about Tamal Krishna Prabhu at the time, helping to establish Krishna consciousness in Europe in 1970, where no one knew anything about it. It was a tough mission, no doubt, in so many ways. He wasn't alone, but there were others also, but still it was tough. Oh, in London he wasn't, but then he went to Paris with his wife at the time. And he mentioned how, even though Srila Prabhupada was in North America, and he and his wife were in Paris, they felt that Prabhupada was with them. Srila Prabhupada also said that. He said about going to America alone. He said, I was never alone. My spiritual master was always with me. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote about 1970 in Paris. While the rest of Paris remained deep in slumber, obviously this is early morning, my wife and I sat on the floor between the dresser altar and bed and chanted. Afterward, while my wife prepared milk and fruit, I would read from Srila Prabhupada's books. This was my satisfaction. Though thousands of miles away from my spiritual master, I felt his presence strongly by conducting this simple worship. It did not require a large temple or even his physical presence. I could associate with him by chanting Hare Krishna and reading his books. Another devotee sent on a difficult task. It's difficult to imagine nowadays how difficult it was to go to a new place and establish the movement, because now it's established. We don't know we can't imagine how difficult it was. So Bhurijan Prabhu, together with his wife, they were sent to Hong Kong to preach in 1970. You just land there, you don't know anyone, you have hardly any money, and you're supposed to stay there and get established and start the Krishna Conscious Movement. They lived on donations, but it wasn't as if they were established or anyone knew them, so they didn't have much money. When they were staying in a guest house at first, and then they were going to move to a rented flat, and they put down the deposit, and they're all ready to move, and then somehow or other the deal fell through. The flat owners, they cancelled it or whatever. The flat owners weren't going to give the money for the deposit back. They said it will take 2 weeks, which left them, Bhurijan Prabhu and his wife, with the grand sum of $4 Hong Kong, which are worth less than US dollars. But they survived during those 2 weeks. They just stopped being anxious. They were always anxious about money, but at that point they stopped being anxious because they thought there's no use to be anxious because we haven't got any. Now we have only to depend on Prabhupada and Krishna. There's just nothing else now. What are you going to do? You're in a foreign country. Don't know anyone. You don't have any money. You're sent by Prabhupada, so you depend on Prabhupada. And during those 2 weeks, every day, someone would just turn up, here, take some vegetables, take some rice, like this, take some wheat flour, or someone would bring some cooked prasadam from a temple, or invite them to take prasad at their house. There's a large Indian community there. And even their rent was paid by an Indian shop owner who'd seen them, because they would go out regularly chanting in the parks. And one Indian shop owner had seen, and he just came and said, okay, I'd like to pay your rent. They didn't ask him, they didn't know him, but he was just impressed by that, and he offered to help in that way. And then Bhurijan Prabhu wrote that, slowly the fact dawned on me, Krishna was actually protecting us. His insignificant, naive, immature servants who were trying to please Prabhupada. So because they're trying to please Prabhupada, Krishna helped in all respects. So there are many such instances. One of the most famous being that in London, when the temple at Berry Place, it was being built, arranged, invitations had been sent out to many people to come for the opening of the temple. Everything was getting ready. There was only one thing missing. There were no deities and no plan to bring any deities either. And they were planning a deity installation. It's an unusual way of managing things. Anyway, it's a well-known story how one man came and said, well, I have some deity. He wanted to sell them. And then Srila Prabhupada went there, and the deities were there in the man's house, and he wanted to talk about how much they would cost and all this. Srila Prabhupada just kidnapped them. Radha Landanishwar. He said to Tamal and Gurudas, I think we'll just take the deities. Now just see how heavy they are. Pick them up. And then he picked them up and walked out. And the man said, no, Swamiji. They said, no, it's okay. We can take them. We can manage them. It's okay. And they just left. They stole the deities, you could say. Prabhupada was, he knew something which no one else knew, that Krishna was waiting there. There are so many incidents. Shamasunda Prabhu, who was one of Srila Prabhupada's first devotees on the west coast of America, recounted one incident in which the same thing, that no money, no way to get any money, so many devotees to be fed, so many things to do. They're really in a, and then early morning, one morning, they went out for a japa walk or something, and they just saw a whole, so many $100 bills just in the street, just blowing, which they promptly picked up and used in Krishna's service. So this faith that if we serve Krishna, ananyas chintayanto mang ye janah paryapasate te sham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. If we dedicate ourselves in Krishna's service, Krishna will look after us, and devotees found that to be true. Krishna, Prabhupada, is looking after us. So it's not only in such extreme situations that we can feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada, or where in some extraordinarily difficult situation, but in our day-to-day lives, if we're trying to serve his instructions, then we're with him. As Srila Prabhupada wrote in his dedication to Srimad Bhagavatam, dedicated to my eternal master, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, he lives forever in his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So we can always be with Srila Prabhupada by following his instructions, and if we have the mood to do that, we can feel his presence. When reading his books, we know that this is Srila Prabhupada. This is him speaking on behalf of Krishna to the world and to everyone individually he takes an interest. So this is Srila Prabhupada speaking to me, and we can feel that Srila Prabhupada is very much present in his instructions as recorded in his books. Many devotees who distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, they can feel that Prabhupada is with me, Prabhupada is helping me, that Srila Prabhupada wants this to be done. In any service, even if it may not seem to be such a directly Krishna conscious service as distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. The housewife looking after her children, thinking that, well, I'm raising them because I want them to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, and Krishna's mission, and it's my duty to raise these children. So giving her best to look after her children for Prabhupada and Krishna, she can feel Prabhupada's presence in that. Washing the pots for Krishna, can feel, yes, this whole temple is set up. Why is this temple here on this remote island in Ireland? It's all because of the desire of Srila Prabhupada, which was the desire of the previous acharyas, which was the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So washing the pots, cleaning the floor, they may seem to be very menial services, but there's a whole parampara of great acharyas who are behind that, and we link with them by performing such services, whatever the service may be. If we know that we're linked. There's yoga, bhakti yoga. The yoga means linking. So linking by devotion, we're connected with Srila Prabhupada and Krishna and our own guru and all the gurus. Just a couple of days ago, I was discussing with Gopala Acharya Prabhu one thing that sometimes a devotee, especially a guru, the disciple is supposed to take the orders of the words of the guru very seriously, and those words may affect the whole life of the disciple in very significant ways. And some examples in Srila Prabhupada's own pastimes that when he first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Saraswati Thakur said to him and to his companion, that you are educated young men, you can preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. First time he saw him, didn't know him in particular. It would seem, from the external point of view, didn't know him. But that, Srila Prabhupada remembered that. That had an impact on his life. And then at the Mart in Radhakund, I believe in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, there's a painting of Saraswati Thakur walking on the bank with Abhay. But actually it was in the Mart at Radhakund, in the Gauriya Mart there, where he told him that if you ever get money, print books. So that made a deep impression on Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was reading the commentary on Bhagavad Gita by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in the commentary to the verse, Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhir Eke Hakurunandana, he came across the passage in which Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that one should take the order of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. So that made a very deep impression on Srila Prabhupada. It's all molding his life. Then again, just shortly, a matter of days before Saraswati Thakur left this world, the Abhay Charanaravinda Das, as he was then known, wrote a letter to him saying that, I'm a householder, I don't have the opportunity to serve you in the same way that many of your brahmachari and sannyasi disciples can do. So that was his question, how can I serve you? Srila Prabhupada sometimes said that the only question I asked of my guru is, how can I serve you? And the reply came by letter that if you preach in the English language, that will do, you're proficient in English, so if you preach in that language, that will do good for you and for others. So that reinforced the very first instruction that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him. This Back to Godhead magazine, Srila Prabhupada would write in the early editions, founded on the direct order of His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur directly ordered Abhay Charanaravinda Das to found this Back to Godhead magazine. And Srila Prabhupada was producing that regularly. He would deliver them personally to subscribers in one library where he was delivering his magazine. One librarian in Delhi said to him that better that you write books, they will have a more lasting effect than magazines. And this was after the disappearance from this world of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but nevertheless, Abhay thought that this is my guru speaking through this librarian, and he took it very seriously. And he didn't stop producing Back to Godhead, but he started to write books. So like that, there are some instructions which Srila Prabhupada has given to devotees. There was one incident where in a temple with many devotees present, Srila Prabhupada called over Yadava Prabhu, who was well known for his lifelong service of making films for Krishna under Prabhupada's order. So in the midst of a crowded temple room, one time Srila Prabhupada called over Yadava Prabhu and said, where is your camera? And he said, well, I just put it down. And Prabhupada said, you should never put your camera down. And he took that, Yadava Prabhu took that as not just in the immediate sense, but as an instruction for his whole life, that he should continue to do this service throughout his whole life. There was a time in the 1970s where Srila Prabhupada was pressing Gopal Krishna Prabhu at that time to produce books in Hindi, and Srila Prabhupada wasn't satisfied with the speed of production. He was never satisfied with the speed of production. Even if it was very fast, he had wanted it to be faster. But it was quite slow to find... Everything was slow in India in those days. To find a competent translator and someone who would actually do the job and coordinate it all. There was very little infrastructure at the time. So things were going quite slowly. And then Srila Prabhupada at one time told Gopal Krishna that every time you come and see me, you bring me a new book. Which was quite a mandate. As the GBC, not only BBT, but GBC. He was GBC at the time also. He had so many things he had to see Srila Prabhupada about. But he's taken that very seriously up to the present time. And now all the books are produced, all of Srila Prabhupada's books are produced in Hindi. But he's also always stressing the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. So some personal instruction can, just a few words can affect a whole devotee's, a devotee's whole life if they take it very seriously. Sometimes devotees come to me and ask me any special instruction. I tell them, you follow, generally in such a circumstance, I'll tell them, you follow all the basics first. That's special, but you don't do that first. You think I'm going to tell you, go and preach in Greenland or something like that. But just follow the basics first, and then we'll see about something special. I have to be special. I need a special instruction. If you have a special instruction, all the instructions in Krishna consciousness, they're all special. So do that first, and then we'll see about other things. So, just to start to wind things up, Srila Prabhupada, advertised as a miracle maker, he didn't promote that he should be promoted as a miracle worker. That's quite a contrast with Jesus, isn't it? Because that's one of the main things for promoting Jesus as being the Son of God, that he did all these miracles. That's a big thing about Jesus, including coming back from the dead. That's the crux of Christianity. Actually, there was a Greek who had been around at the same time or just before, some Greek yogi. He'd been to India they would say, well, okay, Jesus did all these miracles, but our yogi, he did better miracles, so how can you call Jesus God? Maybe we should call this yogi God. He didn't call himself God. As far as we know, Jesus didn't call himself God either. But anyway, getting back to Srila Prabhupada, there's so many instances, so many times, practically, actually, in many, many cases, when devotees recount their experiences with Srila Prabhupada, they'll say things like this. Things like this become well known, how he was going up the escalator, and when it came to the end, going up, he still went on going up, even though the escalator had leveled out. He was walking on air, so to speak. Or that he would make arrangements for devotees' lives so that they could come closer to Krishna, that he could read your mind. When he looked at you, he looked right through you. So even though Srila Prabhupada discouraged that he would be advertised as a miracle worker, he encouraged that people try to understand the timeless message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam that he brought. Or if they can't read or understand philosophy, chant Hare Krishna. This was what he was interested in. He didn't want to compete with Satya Sai Baba and all these kinds of people. He wasn't in for cheap tricks. Even though, no doubt, he had the ability to do them all. But nevertheless, in many of the narrations of anecdotes concerning Srila Prabhupada, such supernatural occurrences are recorded. So, as I've heard it said that Srila Prabhupada said that miracles are for fools, that people who are very interested in miracles as a sign of someone's spiritual position, it's foolish, just for children or something like that. One's actual advancement is seen in their character, the humility, the detachment from the world, their attachment to Krishna. These are the signs given in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavatam, I mentioned the various siddhis, yogic siddhis, or the achievements that a yogi can have. He can become so small that he can enter into everything. That means you can't lock him up. You try and lock him up and he'll just become very small and come right out. Or he can float in the air, he can read your mind, he can control your mind, and so many things the yogi, he can just bring something from anywhere. He has so many abilities. These are mentioned in Bhagavatam, but it's also mentioned there that these can be a distraction for someone who's actually interested in the ultimate truth. Then that is not the ultimate level. It doesn't show any spiritual realization to have such powers. So Srila Prabhupada didn't stress these things, but nevertheless they manifested in his personality, and often devotees mention this as something amazing, which clearly set Srila Prabhupada apart from common people. But more than that, his message and his great drive to impress that message on others, that his compassion in doing so, that is what is really extraordinary about Srila Prabhupada. Quoting from Satsarup Maharaj, our relationship with Prabhupada is always that we are his menial servants, and we should never forget that. Devotional service means you serve him, and serving him means serving his mission. He is a great personality. He doesn't take service only in dressing and feeding. He takes service in executing big worldwide activities, which are his personal service to his spiritual master and to Krishna. So anything you can do to help in that preaching is just as direct and personal as bodily service. And Srila Prabhupada also stated that, because many devotees were eager to perform personal service for him. But in this world, how much service can one person accept? If you wear one or two sets of clothes a day, changing after bath, then you don't need 50 people to wash one or two sets of clothes. I mean, you could wash it once and then have someone else wash it, and then someone else wash it, but there's no point to do so. And as far as eating, well, you can only eat so much. Krishna is unlimited. You can offer any amount of food to him. So the spiritual master directs the devotees in the service of Krishna. There's unlimited service to do. And Srila Prabhupada wrote that distributing my books is personal service. And actually all the services are personal service. There's no such thing as impersonal service. We say personal service to mean direct, to in the presence of the person, or it may not be even in the presence, something like cleaning his room, you could say that's personal service. But all services to Srila Prabhupada's mission, they're all personal service. Satsarup Maharaj again writes, everyone should desire intimate association with a pure devotee, And that intimate association means that you are serving and he is pleased by your service. And that's it. That's our attitude in Krishna consciousness, that we're serving and we're trying to please Srila Prabhupada. Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our Guru, the Gurus, Srila Prabhupada, the Guru of all Gurus in this movement, his previous Gurus, and who are also our Gurus, and all the devotees. Quoting from Satsrup Maharaj, even if it gets difficult or we don't like something, still we have to stick to our service at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. It's do or die. And once you agree to do that, then there's no bewilderment. Well, I don't know what's going on actually. Maybe I'm fearful philosophically. Maybe I don't understand. But all I know is that I'm surrendered to my spiritual master. I'll do whatever he says. And I will never give up serving him until there's absolutely no life left in my body. So serving this mission is the same as serving Srila Prabhupada personally. And service to Srila Prabhupada is as good as serving Krishna personally. In fact, that is the way to serve Krishna through the medium of the pure devotee. So we should always know that if we're, as Srila Prabhupada also wrote again about the personal service, he said that, my disciples want to be with me, and I would also like to be with them all the time, but because we have to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, it requires that we're all in different places. But he also said that wherever a devotee is sincerely serving the mission, then I'm present there. He's present because he's non-different from his mission. It's all going on by his order and his desire. About Krishna, that's also said, Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridaye shubha. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. He says that, I don't reside in Vaikuntha, nor in the hearts of the yogis, but wherever my devotees are chanting my glories. And of course he is in Vaikuntha, but he is in the hearts of the yogis, but he wants to stress this point that he's with his devotees wherever they're chanting his glories. So we should always think that Srila Prabhupada is present. He is seeing what I'm doing and he knows what is in my heart. And that doesn't mean what is in my heart is necessarily good. There may be so many bad things in our heart also, but we have that faith, as Srila Prabhupada said, and then hold on to my dhoti, I'll take you back to Godhead. So we should always consider that if Srila Prabhupada is present, how we are acting, how we're speaking, what we're thinking, would we do this in the present, direct presence of Prabhupada? Well, if we consider he's always present, then that's a good check on our activities, that we don't act in ways that we shouldn't act. We should always think, Srila Prabhupada is personally here. Let me serve him to the best of my ability. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Govinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.